Hi, I'm JR with SellTheJR.com, and I'll buy your house as is. I'll give you a cash offer within 24 hours. SellTheJR.com makes selling your home easy. We buy houses in any condition. We can work through any situation. With SellTheJR.com, there are no strangers walking through your house, no closing costs, no commissions, and no repairs. Go to SellTheJR.com or call us at 832-979-0370. Again, that phone number is 832-979-0370.
Did you know buying, selling, fixing houses, and investing in real estate is easier than you think? All you need is help from a couple of experts who flipped hundreds of houses, seen most situations, and are here to share their knowledge with you. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundup Radio Show with Andrew Job and J.R. Reed from SellToJR.com.
Hello, Rounders. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundup Radio Show. I am one of your hosts, Andrew Job, joined by co-host over here, Mr. J.R. Reed.
What's going on, man?
How are you doing?
Doing good.
We are super excited. We've got some amazing, amazing visitors in the studio today. We have Kirk and Lee of Wes Wichards Properties.
And NeedToSell.com.
NeedToSell.com. Wow. Y'all have that domain.
Yeah. We do.
Beat you to it.
Yeah. We're super excited to have you guys come and speak to the Rounders. And you guys are actually going to be at the Roundup, our networking event that we host at the end of every month, the fourth Thursday of every month, on the 27th of this month. And you are going to be speaking about where y'all are finding success. Kind of, this is like the prequel, if you will, to y'all's talk that you're going to be giving on the 27th. So we're excited to have you guys here. To give you guys who are listening a little background on who Lee and Kirk are, these guys have been in the game since, I think 2017 is when y'all got in?
Yeah.
2017. They ended up quitting their jobs soon after that. Or actually, Lee went first in, and then Kirk came right after, kind of similar to what Andrew and I did. And then y'all have been crushing it ever since.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
And it's been good to see you guys too, man.
You guys have been instrumental in helping us build the business that we had, because you guys were a little bit ahead of the game of us whenever we got started. And so I would come over and hang out with you guys and be like, what would you do here? What would you do there? Yeah. And soak it all in. So now the Rounders can get to soak in what it's like to run an operation that's doing over $2 million a year. I know y'all, that's what y'all did last year, and growing from there. And what has changed in y'all's business is what we want to talk about, since the landscape of real estate investing has changed since interest rates have gone up.
Absolutely.
So we're going to start there. I know that's a long intro.
Just jump
right
into
it. Where do we start?
Well, first, appreciate the intro, guys.
Let me give a softball here. Why don't we just kick it off with, how did y'all get the name Wes Wichards Properties?
Well, you know, this was really hard. We took Lee's last name and we combined it with my last name.
There it is.
So, no, but yeah, it was very simple. We're very basic guys, right? Accounting background. So we figured, what's the easiest thing we could do? Just combine last names. Everybody thinks we're a law firm, right? It sounds like a law firm, but no, we deal in real estate.
Yep.
But yeah, Wes Wichards Properties. And we're actually transitioning, as JR said, NeedToSell.com, right? So we're going to be transitioning everything over to that name, doing businesses that. So yeah, look out for it. You'll see it everywhere.
Nice. Yeah. We're already starting to see it everywhere. You guys were doing a lot of radio advertisement at one point, and then things have changed over the last, I guess, year or two. Mm-hmm. Do y'all want to talk about a little bit about what you're doing for marketing now, and what's working and what's not working?
JR always getting the gems out of us, right?
That's why I bring you on the show, because I want to know. Well, let's back up for a second. Talk about your 2023 and where y'all ended up in 2023 as far as like some basic numbers, so people have a good understanding of your business.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. So 2023, overall, we did roughly like about $2.1 million revenue top line. With regards to marketing, we spent, though, $300,000. Okay. Dollars in marketing. That consisted of direct mail, radio, TV ads, cold calling, and
no text or anything. I think that
SEO.
Was
SEO. Yeah, SEO was the other thing. So spent a lot of money.
So 2.1 in wholesale fees and flip
revenue.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's gross profit for those of you who are listening. When in the real estate investment world, whenever we have revenue, it's basically the gross profit of the business.
Exactly.
That's huge, man.
Yeah, so we did that. And then kind of like at the end of the year, we kind of sat back because we saw the change coming. And we had to prepare for it. So we sat back, looked at our numbers, kind of looked at operations, looked at efficiencies, and realized like, okay, looking at run rates, break-even points, and it's like, okay, how with this change that's going to come, can we consistently spend this amount of money, right, and still feel comfortable? And we could, but at the same time, we shouldn't, right? So we started really honing in and kind of cutting a lot of costs, you know, making sure we were cutting costs and making sure our cash on hand was sufficient enough just in case to weather a storm, right? Okay. So we started doing that at the end of the year. Yeah, so it's been pretty cool.
Awesome, man. Yeah. So what did the storm come?
Did it come for you guys?
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah, the storm came, right? Yeah. We saw it with the interest rates. Flips started sitting longer. Buyers started offering a lot less on properties just because, you know, especially the landlords, refinancing rates were too high, so they had to be lower on the buy. So, yeah, you started seeing those things, and the golden age of COVID wholesaling was gone officially, right? So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So when you say, you know, you had something put away just in case a storm came, are we talking y'all had to reach like a certain months of being able to operate and feel comfortable of having that stacked away, or what did that look like?
Yeah, exactly, right? How long can we go without a deal coming in, right? Can we still operate and have operations running with no money coming into the system? So typically we like to set for 8 months. So we want to have 8 months of operating income. If nothing else comes in, we'll be fine for at least 8 months. And we've been in this game long enough. Hopefully we get something within 8 months, right?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of the benchmark we set for ourselves.
Nice, man. Yeah. That's a pretty safe business.
Yeah.
I think that's probably like a lot different from what you hear from a lot of people in our industry who kind of fly by the seat of their pants of like, let's just go balls of the walls to the max every single time with everything we got and try to maximize everything and hope that it doesn't all come like one bad thing happening.
Well, you know, 100%. you can do that, right? But, you know, with operations like ours and like yours, we have people depending on us. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to do that knowing that, hey, if we fail, we have 13 other people behind us that are going down with us. You know, so you don't want that to happen. So you want to make sure everybody's protected and taken care of.
Nice. Yeah. Well, you mentioned other people. What does y'all's team look like now?
Yeah, so we've downsized a little bit. So we have a total of, let me do the math. We made some fires and then we made some hires. So we have a total of, I think we're at 8 now total that we have in house. So we're at 12, 13, and we've downsized a little bit too, right? Some of that is just going to be, you know, turnover, stuff like that happens in the business. But, you know, for us, we just really getting focused on really trying to focus on having great players in the business, because we've seen it too. You know, you can get by with B players, but that kind of sucks away the energy from your A players, right? And so that's really kind of what we've been focused on, right? And just trying to find great people. And then just like what Kirk said too, is like, you know, we've definitely, you know, take a hit in the business this year in terms of just volume. So it's just being a little bit more, we've just had to make adjustments as it comes, right? And something that, I don't know if it was a mentor or something I saw on a podcast, it's like, you know, you could be really good in real estate, but you're still as good as the economy sometimes, right? Yeah. And so you can't, that's the one thing that we really unfortunately can't control. We can't control the Fed rate. We can't control some of this stuff. So we're just, the thing about it being small, we're able to make these adjustments as they come, right? So
sure.
I think that kind of goes back into, you know, one of the questions you had and kind of adjusting, just doing less flips, more wholesaling, and more creative finance. That's really kind of been our adjustments, honestly. We know a lot of guys that are doing a lot of flips. We get the calls, and it's painful.
Yeah.
It really is. It's painful. And so for us, we made the decision at the end of the year. Every year we do our strategy meeting, but at the end of last year, we had made the decision, like the flips we have in inventory or coming in the inventory that we have, that's pretty much going to be it. So that's all we've really worked with. So
really?
We're down to like two, I think we're down to our last flip, last two flips. to get them sold. So we're pretty much going all creative and wholesaling, honestly.
Nice.
Just to weather the storm so we don't have too much exposure. We don't want to get caught. We don't know what's going to happen. So that's just kind of our way to just not really get caught. But obviously, if there's a great deal, a home run deal, of course, we're still going to flip it. But, you know, I'd say majority of it is just going to be wholesaling and creative finance just to play safe.
Yeah.
Anecdotally, y'all are talking about seeing things sit longer on the market, hearing things from other flips. What did y'all see on y'all's flip business? I mean, y'all were coming out of last year, had some inventory. How did you see the days expand, or what did you see the market kind of grow to in terms of what y'all's current flips are doing?
Yeah, we went from seeing sub 20 days on market to now average about 45.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's about double the time.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you've just doubled your holding costs, you know, per flip. If you're a full-time flipper and you've got some inventory, your holding costs just doubled.
Exactly.
And so were y'all doing that all over Houston, or were y'all flipping in specific neighborhoods and markets?
All over Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty much all over Houston. But then, too, I think that's the beautiful thing, you know, for some of the rounders that's listening. You know, the beautiful thing for both of us, right, in both of our businesses, because we're the ones that's getting it direct to seller. So because we're flipping, we have a lot more spread to work with.
For sure.
So on our flips, thankfully, we can still get out of it and still be profitable. But we can see the writing on the wall, like, hey, what we projected that this property is going to sell for. Thankfully, we have that room to adjust the price to get out of it, right? So it's not sitting too long, but it's only a matter of time where that can keep going, right? So it's like that's kind of the biggest thing. So it's like, thankfully, our business allows us to have enough meat on the bone. So if we need to drop the price, you know, at a good amount to get it sold, we're still not in the red.
For right? sure,
we still have money coming in, but we see a lot of guys that are flipping if they're buying it. At a premium and stuff like that, that's unfortunately kind of where you get caught.
Literally.
So we're just seeing that spread get smaller and smaller and smaller. So it's like, for us, it's like, it's better to just wholesale it, assign it, and just get out.
Just be away. Just be done with it.
Just be done.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, because on a 20-day flip, you know, you're taking it down, flipping it, you got your construction, your cash conversion is a lot quicker. 45 days now from a finished product, that changes your business significantly when you're waiting that much longer to get that cash back in the machine.
100%. So cash conversion cycle, and a lot of things I don't think a lot of people realize too on the flip side too, is that we looked at is really, it's the risk exposure, but then your time, right? Because Kirk, on the dispo side, whenever we have flips, now you have this whole nother part that you really can't quantify, right? When you think about like anxiety and stress, having to go to all these properties, making sure they're not getting broken in.
For sure.
Having to go meet with contractors not showing up on time. They're saying, hey, they're going to be there at 2. They call you at 2:15, say, I'm not going to make it today. Just small things that happen in this business, or you open up walls and now you've got so many things that you just can't project numbers-wise with a flip that you could with like wholesaling or creative finance. And of course it worked for us while it did, but in this market, there's just so much uncertainty, man. So we just realized we just really had to make that business decision.
For sure.
It just didn't make sense.
Buyers have way more options now than they did before.
And way more picky too.
Way more options. They can be way more picky.
Yep.
It was like, you could put anything on the market in 2022, the first half of 2022, and it was like gone.
Yeah.
And now it's like, they want all these concessions. They're for sure not paying full price. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just
and also
world.
Less money in pocket as well.
Less money in pocket.
Yeah, a lot of people that we've run into, a lot of buyers, they just don't have that much money. So, you know, before we were fixing properties, we wouldn't go all the way out, right? Wouldn't put 100% into the flip.
Yep.
Maybe 90%, leave a few things for them to correct. But now they can't correct it, right? They see carpet and they're like, I don't even have enough money to put the flooring I want into it. You know, so I don't have enough money for a down payment. You know, they're looking for assistance and a lot of these different things. So in seeing that along the way, we realized like, okay, there's going to come a point where, you know, we're going to take, you know, drastic hits when it comes to offering concessions, right?
Sure.
Selling for a lower price. And it just didn't make sense for us. Yeah. So.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing that like in our novations that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Like people just, they want all kinds of concessions. They want all kinds of money towards closing and all these things because they just don't have money.
Yep. And that's really, if you think about it, I know you guys really like the economy. I mean, that's just from inflation, right?
Yeah.
So that's the thing that, you know, when you're thinking about this all from an economical standpoint, it's like you've got inflation is higher, so people have less discretionary income. They've got less discretionary savings. Prices are still high. Rates are still high. So it's like this is stuff. This is uncharted territory, which I don't think we've seen in a very, very long time. For sure. It's just like at some point, what's going to give? And it's got to be the price.
Right? Maybe.
Price maybe. And maybe the rate. I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think? I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know if price is going to give because you got so much demand that's just waiting. Mm-hmm. It was my thing. It's like because you have all these people who, my opinion, and this and like $5 can get you a coffee cup over a
not,
coffee over
not even anymore.
No.
Inflation.
Yeah. It's inflation. It's $2. Yeah, it's $10.50 now.
$10 will get you a cup of coffee. I'm in the camp that there's a lot of pent up demand because people are on the sidelines waiting to buy. Because of interest rates. And if they're already in a house that has a low interest rate, they're just not incentivized to upgrade to a bigger home. So all those people who are going to upgrade are not upgrading. Mm-hmm. They're just making it work because their mortgage for a bigger house is literally going to cost them 3 or 4 times as much as their mortgage is now.
Correct.
And so they're just like, no, I can't do that. And so I think there's going to be a lot of demand if interest rates come back down. If that's a big if,
yeah, correct.
If they come back down, I think there'll be an enormous amount of demand.
I agree with that, but it's just that's kind of the crystal ball we don't know about, right?
Yeah,
sure. With the rates, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree too. I don't think prices are going to give. I think over the next 2 to 3 years, you'll see a normal because the equation is income versus price right now, and just the percentage of the income that the consumer is putting towards housing. So I think you'll see a rebalance of prices in line with or incomes within line of where prices are now. But we did just see the first. So Canada just dropped their interest rate. You know, they're the first G7 country to drop it this week.
Oh, so, I didn't know that.
So they were the first to blink. So we'll see where they go.
I hope we follow. I mean, that's great for business, right? Yeah. I mean, I hope that's the case. It's just a matter of when, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Their macroeconomic picture is a little bit different than ours is right now there, too. They're not quite as hot.
And they also have health care, right?
It's Canada.
It's Canada. They're just so polite over there. They're like, oh, we need to lower interest rates so people can afford houses.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I don't know. So it sounds like you guys think that it might get worse before it gets better in the home world.
In the real estate space.
Yeah.
We tend to think from that perspective first.
Okay.
Because that helps us prepare better, right? When we've always been optimistic, it's always kind of backfired on us. So we always look for the worst first. And it's like, okay, if we can look at it from this perspective, how can we plan around it, prepare for it? If it doesn't happen, if it gets better, great. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a great position. But if not, we're ready for it. Yeah,
so, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you said it earlier, you know, you want to keep 8 months of not savings, but operating expenses mm-hmm. ready to go. So you can weather pretty much any storm if you've got that, I would think at least. At least if the market shifts, at least you can figure out how to shift with it in that amount of time and start making money.
Absolutely. 100%. And I think we're not too big where we can't make quick adjustments too, right? Mm-hmm. So there's always opportunity somewhere, but it's just adjusting accordingly, not being too exposed in any one area.
For sure.
Right? That's all it is.
This is the beautiful thing about real estate that we talk with the Rounders a lot is it's all about the tools in the real estate game and how do you use those tools at the right time. You guys are not saying we're not going to flip anymore. You're saying we're not going to flip right now.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so there's going to be a time where it makes sense of, and that's you guys running a good business and being very aware of what's happening in the market of, hey, we're flipping right now. We need to slow this down. We need to get out of this. We're going to wait. There's a time when it makes sense to get back into flipping. But at this current time, that's not the tool that we're going to use right now.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Absolutely.
So what were y'all focused on in 2023 and how did it change in 2024?
So honestly, I would say I'll add from what I remember we were talking about at the end of last year, we were expecting by now that the rates would be lower.
We were expecting,
right? We were expecting 3 to 4 rate adjustments, and now here we are in June, right? So we were making new hires, you know, coming into the new year to prep for that, but it just didn't turn out as we expected. Honestly, things just got weird, so to speak. I just think we're just in a weird place right now. I can't really put my finger on, well, we know what it is, but it's just really weird right now in real estate. Yeah. And I guess the only thing I'd say to the price is just more so of the psyche of sellers to understand, hey, your property's still not worth what it was worth in 22 and maybe early 23, and understanding that, hey, okay, it's got to adjust a little bit, you know, if you expect it to move.
For right? sure.
And that's really what it is. So I'd say that. I mean, we just, I expected lower rates by now.
Was that kind of your question?
Well,
and more so in business.
More so in business. Because I do remember you guys telling us that you had a pretty awesome year for 2023.
Yeah.
And y'all had some growth in 2023. And it sounds like you might have shifted the gears a little bit, like y'all set up to even grow even more, and then realize, oh, wow, the macroeconomic situation is may not be the best to grow the way that we're going. Maybe we need to shift a little bit.
Yeah. So in 2023, we took down every property.
Okay.
Right. So that was one of the things that kind of.
Can you explain takedown real quick for people?
So we bought every property.
Okay.
Every single property. We bought it. We used private financing. Bought the property, then we decided whether we'd flip it, hotel it, or just, again, sell it off to another investor. So our whole thing was control. We always wanted to control the deal. A lot of times we're buying houses from people that still live in the house. They don't want to show it, so we couldn't really wholesale it, so we had to buy it, you know, type of thing. So sure. We were doing that a lot, but in doing that, it was taking a lot of operating income out of us, right? Having to pay for upfront payment to our private investors. You know, sometimes it's like, hey, we want you to have skin in the game. Cool. We have to put 10, 15K down. But you're doing that across 5, 10, 15 houses. That adds up very quickly.
Yeah.
On top of paying for marketing, paying for your employees and all these different things. So, but the deals that we were buying, they were sizable deals. Right. So we knew that we can sell them fast, and then we had large profit margins on the deals. So that was fine. Going towards the end of the year, we started seeing the profit margins get smaller. We started seeing it. These deals take longer to sell. So, again, looking at the writing on the wall, it's like, OK, this is going to get worse. Right. Everyone thought rates would go down. But we're like, hey, all right, we don't see that happening. So, OK, if this gets worse, can we keep this up? And the answer was probably not, right?
Yeah.
We could, but we shouldn't. We For shouldn't sure. keep this up. Let's change. So that's where we made the shift over to wholesaling, strictly wholesaling and the creative finance. But also, to one of the things, I think we talked about this in our mastermind, was we looked at the amount of leads that we pulled into the system last year and the amount of people that were asking, like, retail prices. On these leads. So we had 363 people that were asking actual retail price for the property, wanted to sell, asking retail. 140 of them actually went to market and sold on the market.
Wow.
Right. So when we saw that, we looked at it and we're like, wait a minute, that's a lot of people, right? And if you really think about it, 140 listings.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So in seeing that
140 listings is a powerful agent out there.
Exactly.
It's a lot of money.
Exactly.
That's top performing in the city, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Right. So in seeing that, we realized we were leaving a lot on the table. So we actually started a brokerage at the beginning of the year.
Oh,
so
wow.
Luxor Realty Group. So that's our brokerage.
What's
so
the name of it?
Luxor Realty Group.
Okay.
So three agents under it so far, but we're now capitalizing on that. So people that are offering or asking retail, you know, they're not really budging on that. They flow over to our agents. Our agents pick it up from there. We get a listing out of it. So nice. Monetizing everything that comes into our system.
Awesome.
That's our goal. Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So when did y'all start the brokerage?
We started that in February.
Okay.
Yeah, February. It took some time to get processes built out, things of that nature, you know, logos and all that good stuff, all that fun stuff.
I feel like it's only like a couple months in now.
Yeah.
How is it having agents on the team who are actually going and trying to list properties compared to, I mean, that's a different business than the wholesale business and going and helping people who are distressed or have distressed properties?
Mm-hmm. I would say that, I hate if any agents are listening, no offense, but it's actually easier.
Is it?
Yeah. I would say it's way easier than what we do, trying to convince someone of selling their house at a deep discount. So these people, they want to sell, right? So it's really just guiding them and educating them on the best way to sell their house and understanding their needs and their wants, right? Mm-hmm. And catering to that. That's really all it is. You know, so we train our agents pretty well in order to do that, and they're rocking and rolling.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. So it's easier to get a listing.
I wouldn't say easier to get a listing, but because it's still hard work. You still got to go out. You have to make the calls.
Okay.
You know, I would say it's easier for our agents because we're kind of providing some of the leads.
The hot lead.
Exactly. It's the hot lead. So as a regular agent, if you're just coming into the game, it may be a little bit harder.
Of course.
Right? Because you have to learn sales. You have to learn marketing and all these different things. But for the sake of what we do and what we're providing, it's a little bit easier for our guys.
Nice. That's awesome. I love that. So a few months in, are you happy with the decision so far, or is it too early in the game to say?
Well, it's hard to lose.
It's hard to lose?
Yeah. I like it, right? Because, again, just capitalizing on other opportunities, right? And the way to look at it, I've heard somebody say this before, and no shade to anybody else, but I do think wholesaling is the hardest strategy and skill in real estate.
Yeah.
I do believe that. The amount of work that's necessary, you're negotiating, trying to get somebody to sell their property below market, substantially below market, and they're trusting you to be able to do that, right, and still have enough meat on the bone for two other people to eat off of that deal versus a realtor. So it's like for us, I think the transition was much easier, myself, Kirk, and one of our other agents. So for us, it's all the skills we've learned from wholesaling, negotiating wholesaling, but now it's kind of a thing we can – there's more – services that we can add to that, right?
Yeah.
If you need your property to be fixed up, we know how to do all that. So it's just really providing a lot more value than just your typical agent because we have so much experience on the investing side.
I love that. That's
so
awesome.
Really just how we would treat our own flip, it's really being able to provide that service to a seller. Like, hey, this is how to maximize ROI on your property.
For sure.
Yeah. Well,
we're going to take a quick break.
Cool.
And a quick commercial break. But on the backside, we want to hear more about what y'all are focused on this year and where you see the success in your company now.
Cool.
Awesome.
Let's do it.
Hi, I'm JR with SellTheJR.com, and I'll buy your house as is. I'll give you a cash offer within 24 hours. SellTheJR.com makes selling your home easy. We buy houses in any condition. We can work through any situation. With SellTheJR.com, there are no strangers walking through your house, no closing costs, no commissions, and no repairs. Go to SellTheJR.com or call us at 832-979-0370. Again, that phone number is 832-979-0370.
Welcome back, Rounders. Sitting here having a fantastic conversation with Kirk and Lee. Man, this has been great. Good to have you guys on.
It's good
fun.
To see
it's
you guys,
fun talking
man.
Shop with you guys.
I know. It's good to see
Always
you too.
A good time, man.
We miss you. You've been such a family man, man. We haven't get to see you that much.
Yeah,
but
that's how it goes.
We don't mind giving it up to little man.
That is true. He has been MIA lately.
He's been doing great, man. Proud of you, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Fatherhood, man.
That's how it goes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a new journey.
Bachelors. All the time.
Lee and I are always around. All right.
Always.
Well, so the first half of the show, we ended on the section where we're talking about you guys incorporating a brokerage into your business because you saw 140 transactions that got listed from people who inquired you in 2023. So you said, what are we doing? We're stepping over dollars. Let's pick up some of those dollars.
Correct.
And so we were talking about how y'all have been integrating that in. And whether or not you had quick success or not, but it's still kind of early on in the game. But you did talk about a little bit of the differences. What else are you guys focusing on in 2024 in your business to try to, you know, because everybody, if you're not growing, you're dying. So to try to keep that growth going.
I was going to say basically kind of what we're doing, right? Like just trying to, I think for us, our biggest thing has also been cost cutting initiatives. So just anyway, like, I mean, we've also matured as business owners too, because sometimes when money's rolling in, you kind of think everything is good, mm-hmm. and sometimes you lose sight of expenses sometimes too. Even as former accountants, that's even happened to us, right? It's crazy how that happens. But by preparing for this year, and then obviously things kind of, you know, being a little bit slower than it has been since last year, it's forced us to kind of really go to granular within the business and finding other opportunities and cost-saving initiatives, whether it's in marketing, just getting more efficient, effective in our processes, our CRM systems, and all this stuff. So I'd say it's kind of, one, finding other ways to increase opportunities and volume without costing significantly more in expenses, but then also reducing our expenses as far down as we can, right? So really cutting as deep as we could and still be able to say, okay, we've pretty much cut this as low as we can, right? To where it was like, we know, okay, every month, this is our break-even number every month and getting that as dialed in as possible. So it's really just kind of forced us to just get better at really understanding every single dollar within our business expense line item. Because I think in our business, in most businesses, I think those are the things that's most overlooked, right? When money's coming in, you kind of overlook the expenses and you don't find out to the end of the year when it's time to file your taxes. Oh man, we spent $100,000 just on, you know, office supplies or something like that, right? Yeah. Kind of being facetious, but it's things like that. But seeing it ahead of time, so we're not waiting until 6 months later or getting to the end of the year, but just being ahead of all those expense items. So I'd say that's, for us, I think that's been the biggest thing, just being more efficient, cutting expenses, but then finding, like, the retail side, other opportunities where we can capitalize on money without increasing more liability, more expenses or cost, but still can increase the revenue.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So shoring up the business.
Yeah.
Making sure that it's running as lean and as efficient
tight.
As possible.
Tight.
Tight.
Tight. That's how we like to call it. Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Well, have you guys, obviously you're probably starting to see an increase in transactions because now you're doing another kind of transaction. But have you seen a decrease in your wholesaling business because of that or because you're changing your strategy or?
A decrease in the wholesaling. I wouldn't say there's a decrease in the wholesaling. I would say that there's a lot more fallout on the wholesaling side.
Okay.
In regards to contracts falling out, because before we never had contracts fall out because we always bought the property, right?
Right.
So now we're getting contracts still, but again on the buyer's side, we're watching a lot of buyers just. I don't know, kick the can, man. They come in and they're either like super low to where it's like it doesn't even make sense. They're lower than what we have it under contract for, or they just can't get the financing where they say they're using cash. They're actually using hard money. Hard money comes in. They go, I'm not putting my money in that deal type of thing, right? So we've had that happen quite a few times.
So what do you do in those instances? So, like if they put earnest money down and then they're like, hey – backing out.
Oh, well, you lose your earnest money.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's non-refundable.
That's non-refundable.
Yeah.
But now, you know, there's some guys out there where they're getting that information before even putting in earnest money down. We'll get under contract, and literally the day that they're supposed to put it down, they call us and like, hey, my hard money lender said, you know, he's not going to lend on this, or if he does lend on this, he's only lending up to this amount.
Yeah.
I have to bring $30,000 to the closing, and I don't have it. You know, so
yeah.
It's just running into a lot of that, and it's getting used to that because, again, we were buying everything, so we didn't have that problem. So just figuring out ways to handle that situation. So good thing about having the brokerage. So we had one happen in Sugarland, and we were able to turn that into a listing. So
oh, nice.
Now we're listing it for them, right? And costs us nothing. We get paid out of it. So,
and you're still coming through for the client.
We're coming through for a client.
Yeah,
and that was one of the things that we told them, you know, like, hey, you've been a pleasure to work with, you know, and we want to make sure that you're still taken care of. You know, this is what we can do for you. Needed a little bit of work, but our contractors are not getting out for them, right? So it's just providing that service that at least said.
The one-stop before. Shop.
One-stop yeah. shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting what you said on the buyer side, because it's almost as if the lenders are playing a significant role in influencing and correcting this market too, because these flippers would be buying that property.
Yes.
And they may be in it upside down or have the wrong numbers or whatever, but the hard money lenders are being like, hey, we're not going to back this deal unless you've got more skin in the game. So it's almost preserving their exposure to some degree and helping steer the market from an investment side of like, okay, flippers out there, like if y'all are going to flip, y'all need to be down here versus where you guys were. So that's right. Really interesting kind of seeing the market driven from that side of the business as well.
Man, it's a good perspective. You caught that.
Yeah, I guess it kind of always has been, but they were a little bit more lax in their lending, right?
Because their terms were so much easier.
The terms were much easier, right? Less to put down, Now they're just being very hard in terms of, like, you got to bring more money. You got, we're not doing 90% loans,
no,
right? We're doing
like 80, 75, sometimes 70. Yeah.
So it's like, that's, where does that money come from? It's got to come from the flipper side, right?
For sure.
So now the flipper's cash on cash return now gets reduced. So now they got to look at those numbers, and the only way to adjust that is to adjust what they can pay for it, right? And then with rates, like Kirk said earlier, if we're, even for the buy and hold guys, the landlord guys, they're thinking about refinancing. Well, if you got to refinance into a higher interest rate, the purchase price they got to buy at has to be lower.
For sure.
Right? So we're feeling that, and I think that's where the skill comes in for us on the front lines, which kind of makes it hard, is trying to get those sellers to understand why we have to be at this price, even though they're so used to the premium prices we've been seeing over the last couple of years. So
yeah,
that's kind of been the biggest pain for us. And I know it's been a big pain in our industry across the board too, but just finding better ways to, you know, find these deals and stuff like that. So yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, I think it's a struggle we all go through when going direct to sellers, trying to bring them off the high of the last 3 years of, like, they're like, well, my appraisal is doubled in price.
That's right.
It's like, yeah, but my investors who are going to buy this from me need it at this price.
That's so. Right. That's right. 100%. 100%, bro. Yeah.
It's a fun game. But it sounds like you are doing more than you were doing last year, even though the market didn't do what we all thought it was going to do. It sounds like you are still, with the retail brokerage and what you're doing already, it sounds like that's been just an add-on with you guys.
It's an add-on. So we're making less per deal,
okay,
because we're not flipping anymore,
sure,
right? So we've had that hit because we're making less per deal.
Okay.
But we're also offsetting that with less risk too, right? So
yeah,
you got to weigh that option, right? We're having less risk, so that's something we're okay with.
Sleeping
right?
better at night.
Yes. Sleeping better at night. And it's given us more time too, because, again, Kirk is not having to be project manager, managing all these flips and everything. Now it's just strictly on the dispo with wholesale and then the retail side, right? So that's allowing us to just be more efficient, which is us, like our lead flow, marketing and stuff like that, really, really getting better quality leads as well too, more motivation.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, 100%.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love how you saw where the market was going, and you're like, hey, let's shift. Let's make a move.
Got to do it.
Yeah.
Got to do it. We just don't want to be caught, man.
Yeah.
Right? We're 7 years in, and so we plan to be here for, you know, at least another 7 years or more, but the only way you're going to do that in real estate, you have to adjust.
For sure.
And we're still small enough to be able to do that. So we just learning, trying to not get caught, holding the bag. And that's the number one thing we're trying to avoid.
For sure.
Yeah.
Y'all mentioned creative finance a couple times in the first half of the show and how y'all are doing more of that. Can you talk a little bit about what y'all have got going on there?
Okay.
That's his baby.
Okay. Yeah. So seller. So really focusing on more creative options with seller finance. So it's our first seller finance deal was probably about 3-4 years ago, and we did it, kind of set it and forget it, forgot about it, and then we kind of revisited it about a year ago, and so we realized how lucrative it could be, right, because we were focused on the flips and stuff. It was more money, right, as opposed to a drip over the long term. But for seller finance, especially for people who may still be high, and they're really, our approach is really tax savings, right, being able to save on taxes, and we could pay you more for the property. We just need a little bit more time.
Yeah.
So that allows us to also not have to worry about private financing or dealing with banks or anything like that. So it's really the beautiful thing for any of, for the rounders that are listening, really for seller finance, imagine you're creating your own bank, and you're walking into your bank and you're telling them, hey, I need a loan with this percentage rate over this amount of time. And I'm also going to include some clauses that's going to protect me a little bit more as well. And I want you to accept my terms.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's the beauty of seller financing. And so that's something we really want to continue to grow this year, because it's one of those things where we do think that it's very low risk for us, but then also it can also weather the storm as well.
For sure.
Yeah. So
when y'all get those, what do y'all do with them?
For us, we do seller finance wraps.
Okay.
Right. So we'll get it seller finance terms. And for the rounders who may not know what that means, essentially we'll get it. Usually our notes that we negotiate are anywhere from 0.025% up to the max we do is 4%. We'll get it on a note. Typically we try to do at least 15 to 30 years, from the seller, and then we'll wrap that with an end buyer. We have a little clause in our deed of trust when we buy the property that the seller allows us to sell the property with a wraparound mortgage. We'll find a buyer that's going to seller finance from us, and then their mortgage wraps around that first. And so it's basically just rate arbitrage.
Okay.
The way to look at it, right? Just rate arbitrage.
So you're getting charged, let's say, 3% from the seller who sold you the property.
Correct.
And then you turn around and sell it at 10%.
10%, 30 years is what we sell at.
30 years to, buyer.
To a buyer, right? And so when you do the math, you put that into a mortgage calculator, it's a really big number, right? But it's over 30 years, right? So for the guys that are used to wholesaling, getting those big chunks of money, it's really understanding, okay, this is more of building wealth over the long term. It's just a drip every month, but for it's not a big lick, but over the long term, it adds up. So it's one of those things where we just want to keep throwing as many of those as possible. So anytime we can get them, we want to keep the hold on to those.
That's a nice thing to add to your balance sheet, that
accounts receivable.
Accounts receivable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And not having to deal with tenants, right? That's a beautiful thing for the rounders. When you're doing seller finance, you're just a bank. So you don't have to deal with maintenance. You don't have to deal with tenants. You don't have to do anything. You're just holding a note. And it's essentially, if you do the numbers right, it's very low risk.
How much of a spread do y'all see that's like an average spread on between like what you're paying the seller who sold you that property for a payment and what the buyer who's buying it from you is paying?
So we try to keep at least about a 30%, not 30%. We try to keep at least a $30,000 spread there.
Okay.
At a minimum, right? So if we get it for 120, we need to be selling it for at least 150. But the beautiful thing is, if you're selling it at 150 at 10%, but you're at 120 at 3%, obviously the pay down on the first one is a lot faster. So every year that gap increases very fast. So in year one, you know, year zero, it's a 30,000 spread. Year one, year two, that goes from 40, 50K spread. Every year it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
Right.
You're paying the first guy down way faster.
Way faster. Yeah. And typically we'll do those on a shorter term. Usually those are averaging that people like is usually 10 to 15 years.
Cool.
On the front end.
How are you, because a lot of the rounders out there are probably going, well, I want to do deals like that. Who are the sellers of like owner finance deals?
JR, here you go again. That's got too much information. So those guys are typically guys that own the house free and clear.
Okay.
So we target free and clear owners. A lot of times they are landlords, right? These landlords, I mean, you guys are landlords, right? You know all the problems that you run into dealing with tenants.
Andrew knows all the problems.
That's right.
Right, the problems you run into. And it's like, you know, a lot of these guys, they still want the cash flow. And they want that income. They don't want to take the tax hit of just selling free and clear property, you know, getting hit with capital gains. So they like the idea of like, oh, wait, I can still make payments. I don't have to worry about fixing anything. I don't have to worry about tenants. The property's yours. And I can just sit back and relax.
Take money in,
right? Yeah. So those are the guys we target. And it's been pretty good so far.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Just ACH direct deposit. So if anybody out there is looking for that, it's just an ACH deposit. Come talk to us about some seller finance.
Every month, guaranteed.
It's there by the third day of the month in your bank account, right? You don't have to go chase us for payment.
Visit needtosell.com.
There you go.
Nice little plug there.
Yeah, man.
Andrew, put your earmuffs on. We don't need to deploy this.
I know.
This strategy.
Yes. So if you got some rentals that you want to sell and get some rental income.
No. We're not selling.
No, you guys are too savvy for us. Y'all are too savvy for us.
Andrew wants to. He definitely wants to.
I love the note game. I think that's beautiful. More of those you can add. I mean, it's great.
Absolutely.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. So, what are you guys doing to personally, you know, improve yourselves and you know, and keep learning and keep to be able to translate that to your business? Like, what are y'all doing on a personal level?
I've been reading a lot more. I read a lot of books. I've been reading a lot of books lately. It's funny because it stemmed from, so we do this little thing every month where we have goal setting for our team. So we set goals and they're weekly goals that we have to hit, right? And one of the goals for one of my months was to read, I think it was to read a book or finish a book.
Book and Bible.
Yeah, book and Bible
in
the month. And I did it.
You read the Bible and a book?
Well, not the full Bible. To read a chapter of the Bible every day, but finish a full book.
Okay.
In a month. But I did that, and when I finished the book, I was just like, man, I could like my mental capacity just grew so much, right? And then I just started reading books from people in other industries, relating it back to the industry that we're in, seeing how, you know, the synergies between the two things that we could use. And yeah, it just kept growing from there. And now I just can't stop reading and implementing the things that I read, you know. So that's the biggest key.
Awesome.
Is just being able to implement, you know, things that you've read.
What's the best book you read lately?
Right now, it's What It Takes by Steve Schwartzman.
Okay. What It Takes.
Yeah, that book has been amazing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, if you're listening, pick up What It Takes.
Yeah.
The BlackRock, right?
Yeah, he's CEO of Blackstone.
Blackstone.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Big timer.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Lee, what are you doing on your side?
Yeah, man, for me, my goals for this month, honestly, it's still working out. I do a lot of cardio, so I've lost weight, of course. So work out 4 days a week. I read my daily devotionals every morning. Just trying to eat healthy. And one of the things, too, that I've been doing for the last 2 to 3 months is every day just calling, texting a friend or family member.
Okay.
So I know that doesn't have to necessarily do education for the business, but I find that in business, and you guys probably can agree to this, your business can grow only as far as you do. And so it's just one of those things where, you know, we can continue to learn about business and stuff too, but we have to make sure we prioritize our mental health, our physical health, emotional health, spiritual health as well. And I know family is very important to you guys, just as it is for us. So really understanding, like, yes, business is important. Like, we want to be successful. We're very ambitious. But I find that when I neglect my personal side, then the business gets affected. So for me, it's just by doing these things to keep me healthy, I think that's what allows us to continue to move forward and just really stand positive. Even if things don't work out as planned, you know, what we projected, things happen, right? But just having that just really good, peaceful, positive state of mind has just allowed us to just weather the storm, regardless of what happens, up and downs, that's going to happen, get punched in the face, keep going into the ring. But if you don't take care of yourself as a business owner, for you rounders who may be business owners, looking to be business owners, that's one of the things I say, just you really have to make sure you're still prioritizing your health along the journey and not neglecting that, focusing so solely on being successful.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah.
Thank you, man.
Balance.
Balance, man.
A little bit of balance.
Life integration is what I call it.
Life integration.
You can't separate the two.
There's okay. No such thing as
there's,
balance.
Yeah, there's no balance. You got to integrate the two, but you got to make sure they're in sync, in yeah. synergy. Yeah.
Where'd you pick up that coin, that phrase?
Life, what's that?
Life integration.
I just made it up right now.
You coined that?
Yeah.
I love that.
That's the best way to put it, though,
you
right?
Trademark that, man. That's a self-help book ready to be written.
That's it, man.
Life integration.
Life integration. That's right.
By Lee West.
Love it.
You can start a course now.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, you
appreciate
should.
Appreciate it. But did that answer your question?
It did.
Okay.
I know you were doing, you did like the 75 hard, like all the levels.
Mm-hmm.
What are the levels that you went through?
Yeah, so they've got a lot in between, but I did the whole Live Hard program. So every level, it's got different things, and it just keeps adding to things. And I talk about it a lot because I think that's been the biggest mental shift for me, because it's really a mental thing. But you've got to drink a gallon of water every day. You've got to work out twice a day, 45 minutes minimum. One of them has to be outside. You've got to read for at least 10 to 20 minutes. There's some other things. Read a book. One of the levels, you have to take a cold shower. You got to put it on the coldest setting and be in there for, like, I think it's a 5 or 10 minute shower.
Okay.
One of them, if you've got to do a good deed every day, one of them, you got to talk to a stranger, not just high and by, but you actually have to have a conversation with somebody who's a stranger. So, I talk to everybody, man. I talked to, you know, I remember one day it got really late and I was almost at midnight and I was like, I haven't talked to somebody. So I got in my car and I would just went to go drive, see if I could find somebody. Went to a gas station, talked to a homeless guy who was sitting outside, and we had a great conversation.
Did you?
Yeah, really, really good conversation, man. So it's just, again, just, I don't know, just being positive, man, and just looking at everybody and treating everybody as if they're a human being, man. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
I think you're the only person I know who's been through the whole Live Hard program.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
It's you know, everybody does the 75 hard, and then, that, like, if they get through the 75 hard, they're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, you took it to the next level, which went or actually the next two levels, I guess.
That's it, man.
We will hunt you down to find a conversation with you.
We'll hunt you down, man.
Midnight.
That's it.
On a Tuesday.
Just really pushing myself. And I think it goes back to what we talk about for entrepreneurship, right? I think one of the biggest things is, are you who you really think you are? And I think that was kind of the thing that pushed me. It's like, can I really do this?
Yeah.
So I was like, F it. Let's just go all the way, right?
Yeah.
And so it just gives you that extra confidence that, you know, if you put your mind to it, you know, you definitely can achieve it for sure. Yeah.
That's a good way to test yourself.
Yeah.
I think we all talk a big game, but when it comes down to it, are we really ready to put everything on the line and prove to ourselves over something like 75 days? Like, are you really who you think you are?
That's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's just all mental. All mental. So, yeah, man.
Well, we're starting to get closer to the end of the show, and usually towards the end of the show, I want everybody to be able to come and find you guys. And if they want to reach out to you, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
I would say first, www.needtosell.com. That's needtosell.com. You can reach out via there. We have our phone number on that website. Other than that, personally, we have our social media. So I am Kirk Richards _ on all platforms, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And
I am Mr. House Guy. So MR, the abbreviation, and then House Guy on all platforms. And again, needtosell.com. So we're easy to reach. Happy to help you guys. I know you guys, you know, being the Rounders, this is a great, great group of people. So any way that we can add value to you guys, you can reach out to us. Happy to help you in any way that we can maybe give you some nuggets that can help you in your journey.
For sure. And then we've got the Roundup coming on this month,
June 27th.
You guys are going to be coming in, being our guest speakers,
Gracing
us with your knowledge and presence there. So we're really excited about that. And if you're listening to the show or listening to the podcast and you want to come hang out with probably some of the greatest people in Houston when it comes to real estate investing, some of the top investors come and hang out there like you guys. And there's just a wealth of knowledge there, people who are just willing to talk to you and share their knowledge. Yeah. And so if you want to come hear what these guys have to say, some of the knowledge that they're going to share, come check it out. Go to rounduprei.com. You can get all the information there. And I think we're getting close here. Will, are we? 1 minute?
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you'd like to leave the Rounders with?
Happy investing, Rounders.
There you go.
Happy investing. I love it. Well, thank you guys so much. It was an honor having you guys on the show again.
Glad to be here, man. Thank you guys.
Thanks for having us.
I can't wait to see you.
Invite number two, man. We appreciate it. We didn't mess it up the first time.
There you go.
See you later.
See you guys.
Hi, I'm JR with SellTheJR.com, and I'll buy your house as is. I'll give you a cash offer within 24 hours. SellTheJR.com makes selling your home easy. We buy houses in any condition. We can work through any situation. With SellTheJR.com, there are no strangers walking through your house, no closing costs, no commissions, and no repairs. Go to SellTheJR.com or call us at 832-979-0370. Again, that phone number is 832-979-0370.